thank you so much. And really want to thank Kelvin last week for stepping up. I took a, shall I say, an emergency holiday. I was at Eagles Bay and enjoy myself together with Joanne and a couple of other people from First Light family. And we know that God is always watching and caring for us and keeping us safe. I know that, you know, our border won't be opening up next week. And as to assure you, as in our leadership, we are always thinking of what's lying ahead and try to make coming to church as safe as possible. And so if you're not part of our Facebook visual community, it's good for you just to get connected so you know what's the latest thing that can happen. But just a couple of things is that let's try to meet as much as we can because we don't know what's happening next. And of course, you know, for the past couple of months, we already have online service. And so if you can't make it physically, we also invite you to join us at 3 p.m. every Sunday afternoon to join us online. We're going to have live service as much as we can. If not, we will have a pre-recorded service altogether. And let us also meet as long as we can. Right? We try to keep within the law. Within the boundary of the law, some of us may have different position about vaccination, but we still love you, and we still care for each other. We show mutual respect, and it's important that we fear God, but at the same time, we also want to honor our government, and it's also important that we meet as many as we can. Again, if we can come as a bigger group, let's follow the law. If we can't, let us just observe what will be the social distancing of what's appropriate for all of us. So just three things. Meet as much as we can, meet as long as we can, and meet as many as we can. Can we do that? Yeah, let's do that and stay connected. I think it's important either to live group, call each other, just pray for one another. I think these are what lies ahead of us, we do not know. Although we have a lot of things in plan, a lot of things we want to accomplish or do together as a church, but we just see how it goes. But we always know in crisis, in bad time, God is still sovereign. Our life is not based on our circumstances, right? And this is what the story of Ruth is about. We all know from chapter 1 how Naomi lost her husband, lost her two sons, and how she also lost a daughter-in-law by sending Orpah back, but Ruth journeyed with her. And when she entered into Bethlehem, you know, everyone recognized Naomi, but she said, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara, right? Meaning bitter. Just two Sundays ago, I was talking to one of the young adults. I was just talking about relationship. He said, how are you in terms of relationship? His reply was, call me Mara. So I said, okay, you need prayer. And some of us sometimes go through life. As I say, we can say that life is bad, life is harsh, life is difficult. We're going through trials and tribulation. But yet, in chapter 2, we begin to realize what Naomi see her season as bitter, God is still in control. So in the midst of us going through this whole opening our borders in time to come, and there are situations we are concerned about every day, we are reading the news or hearing the news of increasing of people getting infected, it can bring a lot of concern. But let us rest again and again in the God whom we confess. It's a God who cares for us and loves us. Amen? So let's quickly just look at chapter 2. It talks about Naomi. Today I'll talk about the Kinsman Redeemer. And today, basically, I'll just quickly look at verses 1 to 12, and then I want to focus from verse 13 onwards. Now, Naomi has a relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was called Boaz. And Boaz means strength or swiftness. And you can begin to realize when Boaz does things, he's very quick. He's not a procrastinator. And we can read the story. It says, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of the grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. So here was Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. She was an outsider. She was a foreigner. And we all know the historical enmity between the Israelites as well as the Moabites. But when Ruth joined together with Naomi saying that your God shall be my God, your people shall be my people, Ruth established for herself a different destiny. She's coming to know the God of Israel. And then what happened in those days, there was a law in Moses, the Levitical law, meaning that people could actually glean from the field. What happens was this. When a farmer began during harvest time, and we know it was a barley harvest, they will send workmen to start cutting all so-called the barley, and they would gather them into sieves. But there was a law saying that you don't clean up the whole field. You leave something behind. So if you so-called pack all your barley, so-called your stalks, and some of this drop on the floor, don't gather it back. Let the poor come and take what they can from the floor or what they can pluck up from the leftover in the field. In one sense, God's law in the Old Testament, he cares for the poor. But he doesn't make the poor like a charity case. No, years ago in the mission, we read a book called When Helping Hurts. Sometimes when we help people, we can actually hurt them because we think what we do is if everything can be solved by money, we give people money, we can solve all their problems. But sometimes in mission, you begin to realize giving people money may not be the best way to help people. Sometimes our effort in helping people, and those of us know, sometimes we think we want to help them, but we do it not the way of wisdom, we end up with what we call compassion fatigue. Meaning that we get tired feeling sorry for people. Helping someone is not feeling sorry for them. We help people because we want to show them the love of Jesus Christ. We want to show them the love of God. If we help people out of pity, or we feel sorry for them, or we look at a situation, they make us feel guilty that we need to do something, matter of time, we are going to get what we call compassion fatigue. In the Old Testament, here it is. As they so-called harvest the field, they leave behind so-called stalks on the floor, on the field. There are some parts of the field, they did not pull out everything so that the poor who comes along can start to glean. In one sense, it maintained their dignity. In the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, you realize there's nothing wrong being poor if that is your status. But the rich must always help the poor in a sense. And here was Ruth telling Naomi, I want to go and find and do something. Ruth was active, but Naomi still was Mara, in the Mara mood. She didn't want to do anything. And Ruth was hopeful while Naomi was hopeless. And Ruth was determined while Naomi was in despair. So what happened was this. Ruth came across a field. And this field belonged to Boaz. And Boaz was what we call a kinsman redeemer. And kinsman redeemer is a very interesting concept in the time of Ruth in the Bible, was that a kinsman redeemer is not just a mere relative. He is a very special kind of relative who has the privilege, who has the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble or who is in danger or in need. If you go to Papua New Guinea or you go to Pacific Islands or some part of Africa, they still practice this concept of kinsman redeemer, that someone in your family, if you lost your husband, you lost your brother or you lost your son, the next closest male heir or male relative acts as your kinsman redeemer, helping you in your situation. But the flip side of being a kinsman redeemer, you also become an avenger of blood. These two concepts you look in Old Testament, the kinsman redeemer and the avenger of blood is the same person. The kinsman redeemer helps you when you're in trouble, but the avenger of blood, like all Marvel Avengers, avenge you where there is a sense of injustice. So when Elimelech left with Naomi to go to Moab, that land that belongs to him passed on to another relative. And somehow along the way, here was another relative that comes in the person of Boaz. And Boaz came alongside. And we can look at Boaz as a type of Jesus Christ. Here was Ruth. She told the mother-in-law, let me go and find some wood. Let me go and glean the field. And the Hebrew says here, if you read the Hebrew text of that text, it says, chance upon her. She came to that field that belonged to Boaz. And then she experienced the favor of God through Boaz. And in that sense, Jesus is both, like Boaz, both our kinsman redeemer. He came to redeem us, but he also is our avenger of blood. He's the one who come avenge us against what sin has done to us or what the devil has done to us. And here he gives us life and life forever full. Look at verse 5, it says, then Boaz said to the young man who was in the charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reaper answered, she is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. For Ruth entering into that field of Boaz is a picture of the gospel. Boaz is the type of Jesus, but the field of Boaz is like us being in Christ. We have stepped into the territory of Jesus Christ. When we are in Christ, we have all the favor of God. God purposely put us in Christ. So when he looks at us, who qualifies us for all favors and all blessing? Jesus Christ. And so here was Boaz looking at Ruth and say, who is she? And everyone said, oh, she is the enemy. She is the outsider. She's not part of us. But then Ruth will begin to experience what we call a merited favor. Verse 8 says, then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? When Ruth entered with Naomi back to the promised land, she began to experience the open hands of God in her life. Ruth began to see things that she never thought possible. God was blessing Ruth already, and all because he guided her to Boaz's field. And Ruth found companionship among the women. Boaz said, stay with the women, and also protection. All these young men will not harass you. This is the first time we see in the Bible anti-sexual harassment laws. Boaz say, young man, not only you cannot tease her, you also cannot touch her. Leave her be as it is. And then there's refreshment. You can drink the water provided. And that is our Christian life in Christ. The moment we know Jesus Christ, we find a whole new family. Amen? The church is a whole new family. We are a family. We do not just come together on an afternoon, but when we gather together, we see each other as sons and daughters of the Father, but we also see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Same time, we also have protection. God keeps us from harm's way. But even sometimes, if we think we are going to harm's way, he will also deliver us. Amen? And through his word and through fellowship and through all our things in our life, we find refreshment again and again. And here was Ruth. She could not understand it. She says, why have I found favor? After all, I'm a stranger. And this is the hands of God telling us that God shows us hospitality in full measure, though we are strangers to God. Amen? Jesus says in Matthew, he said what? God sends the sun and the rain on the just and the unjust. Whether you know God or you do not know God, God will always show his blessing in the full measure. Why? As to bring you into a covenant with him. And that's why later part of Ruth, we talk about how Boaz arranged for Ruth and later they got married. And this is how Jesus came, not just simply just to bless us with good weather or bless us with lovely sunshine. When we come to know Jesus Christ, it was to bring us into a covenant of the new blessing, a better covenant that our life will never going to be the same again. How many of us, when we get saved, we look back how many times? How many of us get saved the first time we hear the gospel? How many times do we get to hear the gospel we got saved? How many of us had to hear it at least 3-4 times? Half a dozen times. But when we got saved and we look back, we say, how wonderful it was. I didn't hear the gospel just one time. There were so many people who came into my life. There were situations I hear the gospel again and again. And today, you're still hearing the gospel again because God wants us to experience that favor. We are like Naomi. We are like Ruth. We were just as hopeless. We are just as destitute. We had nothing left in us. Even though sometimes we think we have plenty in life, we always know for all of us, there was always a gaping hole in our very soul, that only Jesus Christ can fill it. Why did we find favor in God's eye, even though we do not know God? Because God knows us even before we were created in our mother's womb. The Lamb of God was slain even before the foundation of the earth. That says our life is so precious. God thought of us even before we were formed. God gave us a purpose even before we were given our name. Your life is meaningful. Turn to your neighbor and say, your life is meaningful. Your life is purposeful. And this was what God does. We were all foreigners. We were all strangers. We have no hope, but God gave us hope by revealing himself to us through Jesus Christ. And this is why John says in his letter how much God loved us. He lavished upon us. I like the word lavish. All right, in those days, if you do something nice and the king loves you, he said, lavish him with gold. You know how they lavish you with gold? You are supposed to prostrate. Then the servants will come with jars and jars of gold and pour on you until every part of your body is covered by a stack of gold coins or gold nuggets. How many of you would love God to lavish upon you? Pity the man who's huge, because all the gold on him is going to be too heavy for the move for that. But the lavishness of God's love towards us is to express his hospitality and his kindness, not because we have earned it, but because he loves us with perfect love. Chance upon Ruth that she entered into the field of Boaz. This is what we call divine appointment. You know, chance upon chance, first light came to this LGCC. We couldn't give this place. Coming here to worship on Sunday for almost 2 years is divine appointment. And divine appointments opens us to divine provision. Divine appointments open us to divine provision. While you and I can see life full of trials and tribulation, while life can be hard and full of difficulty, in God's hand, who is sovereign, he set us up not for disappointment, but for divine appointment, in which he says, I'm going to position you, I'm going to help you to experience my provision. It was by divine appointment you and I came to know Jesus Christ. And will we not agree our life was never the same again? There were tough times. We all go through tough times. We were shaken. We were going through struggles. But yet, even though we are shaken, even though we all struggle in Christ. And Christ came true for us again and again. That's why you're here today. You didn't die. You didn't perish. You look back, you will see the hands of God, because it is through that experience of God, through that divine appointment, you encounter divine provision. Verse 11 says here, but Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. You must realize that must be a very small village. Everybody knows everybody's business. It was a very tight-knit community. And said, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. Ruth's devotion to Naomi was noticed, not just by one or by two, by the whole community. I like this phrase, the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. This is a covenant blessing. When we come into knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is a covenantal blessing. The God of Israel, God reveals his salvation plan first through the Old Testament to the people called the Israelites, and then through history to ages past. Paul tells us in Colossians, what was hidden is now revealed that we may come to the full knowledge of God. Amen? And God says, in the gospel, when we come to know Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, under His wings, right? And those of you who know, wings are very important, not chicken wings, but living chicken hen, where the chicks are very small, when they are under threat, they always run and hide beneath the wings of the mother hen. And God will take care of us when we trust Him. But this is also good for us to remember. Ruth was learning about the God of Israel. And here was Boaz saying, because you came to this place, the God of Israel is going to bless you and going to show you kindness and also going to deliver you. How do we apply this in modern life? I think as believers, we should be the greatest blessing to pre-believers. People come to encounter us, we should be like Boaz, able to pronounce a blessing. The very fact you know me, even though you do not know God, God has called me to be a blessing to you. That you may know the God of Israel, the God of Jesus Christ, is here to bring deliverance to you. How many of you really believe you are a blessing to those who yet to know Jesus Christ? When they see you, well, they say, what favor have I earned to know you as a friend? No, it's not earned anything. It's because God wants me to be a blessing to you. In this city, my constant prayer is every person who knows a believer never get stumbled by a believer. But get blessing, get a pronouncement of benediction, get something good from us. Not because we just want them to come to know Jesus Christ. I think our relationship is not trying to so-called boil it down just to get them saved. Of course we want to get them saved. But we want to be a genuine blessing to people who yet to know Jesus Christ. And this is a word of comfort that God wants you to come under the wings of His protection, of His love. Verse 14 says, and at near time, Boaz said to her, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied and then she had some leftover. Of course, later we know the leftover was for the mother-in-law, Naomi. Right? So she's very caring. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. Boaz was not just a wealthy man, but Boaz was an extremely generous man. And he extended hospitality. He invited here Ruth to eat with him under the shade. You must know those days, there was a culture boundary between the Israelites as well as the Moabite. But here was Boaz showing the generosity. And this gesture of generosity was important because when a master or when the owner of the field invites someone who has no status to have this meal, it is an indication to everyone in the village, no one is going to harass this person, no one is going to touch this person and make life hard for that person. That's why this is an echo to Psalm 23. He sets before me a table, right? A table before my enemies. When God invites us to have communion with Him, when God invites us to have this relationship with Him, He's making also a public statement, especially on the evil one, that if you come against my sons and my daughters, I will deal with you. Our life is always safe in God's hand. And here was Ruth enjoying that friendship. Boaz invited her into the inner circles of friends and lunch to enjoy lunch. And she ate so much that she was so full, but then she also kept some left over to bring back for Naomi. Here is Boaz in the picture of Jesus Christ, showing extravagant mercy and care and compassion. And so when Ruth, after lunch break, goes back to the field, Boaz gave instruction, no one rebuke her. twice. In fact, if she feel like picking up something from the sieves, remember the law of gleaning was what was left over. But now Boaz said, no. Let her take what she needs. Right? Even if she want to pull up some, let her do it. Don't rebuke her. Don't reproach her. In one sense, here was Boaz say, don't disgrace her and don't shame her. Is she taking more than what the law allows? And this is always grace. Grace always gives us more than what the law allows or what the law permits, because law is about rules, but grace is about relationship. Boaz allowed Ruth to take some from among the already gathered sheaves of grain. So here we can see Boaz wanted to bless Ruth, but Boaz was smart. He didn't want to insult or dishonor Ruth's dignity by making her a charity case. She allowed something to fall. Tell the man, pretend. Nah? Just, if you pick, drop something, let her pick it up. And this is, again, is a picture of how God cares for people and love people. When God cares for us and love us, He will never dishonor our dignity. He will not put us in a place that we feel ashamed. Even when God works on us, sometimes with some of our bad attitude, I was like the way He deals with the disciple. He rebuked them. His rebuke is not very long. Oh, ye of little faith. One sentence. He doesn't spend half the day telling, berating them or belittling them. He just say one thing, ye of little faith. Right? And He doesn't make it a big thing. Even though it's a big thing, but He knows the way He deals with us was never to dishonor us or to shame us. Even when He has to correct us, He corrects us with a certain sense of love and dignity. Amen? This is our God. And verse 17 says, so she gleaned it in the field until evening. Then she beat up what she has gleaned, and it was about an effort of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she has gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. In the morning, Ruth had nothing. By evening, when she returned, she had an effort of barley. You know how heavy it is? It's about 35 to 40 kilograms. Thank God Ruth is young and strong. Imagine carrying your briefcase, 30, 40 kg. And she has more than enough food for herself and Naomi. Could last them practically like a month because of the grace shown to her by Boaz. Naomi indeed was certainly blessed. But you notice, even though Naomi called herself Mara, the writer of this book never ever called her Mara, but always called her Naomi. God always called out the truth of who we are to Him. Even when you and I can sometimes say, I'm useless, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'm a nobody, I'm this, I'm that. But when God calls us, He calls us as sons and daughters. When we feel bad about ourselves, when we feel we lack achievements in life, when we feel there's no breakthroughs, or we feel our life has never been amount to anything, God calls us as who we are. Because He is the one who gave us purpose and meaning. And has given us Jesus Christ as a kinsman redeemer. The very fact you and I have Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer, what else do we lack in life? Amen. And this is verse 20 says here, and Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you shall be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Naomi saw this unexpected provision. We can say Naomi is Mara no more. She saw God's hand through Boaz. She saw God's blessing. Our experience of life with God in the picture brings comfort. If we never put God in the center of life, we will see life as trials and tribulation and problem. But when we see God in the picture of life, life is no longer a series of problems, but a life is a series of problem solving. That's the difference. We will still go through situation in life, but God in the picture will see us through. And an unexpected change of plan, like in Naomi's life, in Ruth's life, when they lost husband, they had no land, they were destitute, yet God set them up for a divine appointment. When you and I come to know Jesus Christ, that is divine appointment. And I know some of you guys, some of you, how you got saved was a fantastic story. It's not like those usual thing. Like you went through all interesting encounter when you finally saw the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Your life was never the same again. Our divine appointment in knowing Jesus opened the floodgates of divine provision. What kind of divine provision do we have? Well, read Ephesians again. Right? He said, we are blessed in the beloved. We have all things in Christ. There's no lack. All we need, but Paul was praying that he's praying for us, that the Holy Spirit will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know what is ours, given to us freely. And sometimes we think we must plot and plan and manipulate for God to bless us. When God simply say, everything I have is yours freely through my Son. Will you receive it? So whether you are facing with an unexpected time in your life, when you're going through an unexpected crisis, or an unexpected delay, or an unexpected change of plan, always know that God is setting you up for divine appointment. You know, I can tell you again and again, just like how I end up here is divine appointment. I got to know someone in New Zealand who tells me, I think God wants you to go to Perth. And I came to Perth. It's through that divine encounter. And how we got into here is, again, it's divine encounter, as I said earlier. And our life must be a sense of encountering the Father's love again and again. Sometimes I think our biggest struggle is we say, I need to have more faith. Well, people, can I tell you, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing the gospel again and again. Faith is not something you can churn up for yourself or myself. Paul says in Galatians, faith is empowered through love. Faith working through love. And perfect love casts out all fear. The only time when you and I, if you ever struggle with faith issue in our life, can I fully persuade you? Always remind yourself, you are perfectly loved by God. When you know you're perfectly loved by God, you are like Ruth entering into Boaz territory. You are Ruth stepping into Boaz's field. You're going to have that kindness. You're going to receive kindness. You're going to receive favor. You're going to receive tender mercy. Not because you qualify at anything. But God's kindness is qualified for us through Jesus Christ. How many of us want God to set us up for divine appointments? It should be. Knowing Jesus Christ is the beginning of everything. Don't look at life and say life is full of hardship. Just say, every day. Life is full of God. When you know the size of your God, your problem is very small. But when you look at your problem without knowing the size of your God, you end up thinking you must be the one carrying your own load and your own problem. And that's why we struggle. That's why we are full of fear. That's why we end up like Naomi, always saying that we are Mara, bitter. When God said, you know, you are Naomi. Your life is going to be pleasant. Your life is going to be a pleasure. Where are we today? We do not know what lies ahead of us, as I said this year. Once the border opened up, a lot of speculation, a lot of things will fly in our mind. But can I encourage all of us here? Can we pull together as a family? Can we say, yep, we are together, and we're going to meet as often as we can, as long as we can, as many as we can, but much more that, you know, just encourage one another and trust God in every season of faith that He who calls us, He will surely provide and see us through. Let's all rise. Father, we thank you for your word, for your truth. Thank you for this reminder that Jesus is our Kinsman Redeemer. He is the one that you have provided for us. And this Kinsman Redeemer that we have is Savior. And your word in Hebrews says Jesus saves us to the uttermost. He didn't just save us last Tuesday. He saves us every day to strengthen us and help us. The Lord, the relationship you're calling us to be with you is a covenantal relationship. And I pray for every person here that they will learn how to walk in that covenant relationship. Church, I invite you to raise out your hands this afternoon. Give yourself to the Lord once again. Give yourself to Him and say, Lord, I do not know what I have done to deserve favor. But Lord, I thank you for your favor. I thank you for that grace. And I thank you for divine appointments in my life, that you always show your open hands. That Father, I pray this year will be a season of extreme divine appointment for every person, for every family. They're going to see your hands at work. And they will be amazed because, Father, you're going to set every one of us into the encounter of your grace again and again. That you are indeed to us, in Jesus' name, our Kinsman Redeemer. For this, we want to thank you and pray all this in your Son's most precious name. Amen.